This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And, of course, I am so happy to be here behind the microphone here at Tantalk Radio Network. It's so wonderful to be in the studio. And I'm hoping that things are going to get a little better here. Soon I can have people back in. I've had one guest, and I think we're safe to have more because Ed is keeping this place so spotless. I mean, he's cleaning up after everyone walks in the door. So, Ed, thank you so much for everything. And today, I wish she was here with me, but she's on the phone. Hey, Rita, are you there? Not yet? Oh, boy. Rita Moreau is supposed to be calling in for a minute. Okay, well, not for a minute. I'm going to try to keep her. She's supposed to call. Anyway, she's going to be talking about, this is one of the things that happens to writers. You just love to write. You write. You're so enjoy it. And then you finish your book and you say, now what am I going to do with that book? So it's so much fun to see sort of what happens in a writer's life. And that's why I'm so happy to have Rita Moreau on the program today. Hi, Rita.
Hey, Patsy, I am happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Okay, well, I wish you were actually here in the studio with me because you are always such a hoot.
Radio Rita.
That's it. We call you One Take Rita. You come in here, you do
well.
This. Usually,
I don't know about that. Usually.
Yeah. And you come in.
Fingers crossed.
You do these wonderful book buzzes for people. And I tell you, so many people are really so grateful that they have these. And especially now, because as you know, this is a very difficult time for authors. All of the events are canceled.
Definitely.
Book fairs, book shows, book signings, conventions. So they really have very few outlets to promote their books. And
that is true. It's become all virtual. And that some, like myself, that's a learning curve, you know. So you're absolutely right.
It is. And when, authors need to keep a sort of ongoing, never-ending, building their base, building their fan base. And it's difficult when you don't have anything to promote. You can't just keep repeating on Facebook, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book.
No.
That doesn't work, does it?
No. No, you don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that. You want something to, want to give your fans something new to look at, something new to think about. And one of the things that authors do is, of course, they use both my interviews with them and your book buzzes. They put it on their website.
Well,
they put it on their Facebook pages, and people listen to them. People hear about it, and they really appreciate it. I know that
I appreciate doing it. I really do. It gives me pleasure to hear that.
Well, we have one coming up that, not today, I'm not going to play it today, but it was, you just taped it the other day, and it's with Owen King, about Owen King's book. And it was so funny. It was such a joy to have him on. And now I'm going to have his wife on. So pretty soon, I'm going to try to get the whole family because, as you know, the family includes his father, Stephen King. So I'm going to try. Get his wife. I'll get the rest of the family. I'll get the kids. And then I'm going to try to get Stephen
That will be thrilling.
It will be thrilling. Yes. So I'm working on that because it was funny. You know, his he's just such a great guy, and it was just such a joy to be able to talk to him. So he's part of all of this. Recently, Lawrence Block put out another anthology.
I think I did a book buzz.
That's
for
right,
that
the
one.
Darkling yeah. Halls of Ivy, and Owen has a wonderful story in there. So it was just so wonderful for me to get to talk to him about the story, about his books, about just writing in general, because obviously it's something he loves, and I have so much fun here. You know, I really do. And
I know, I could tell it. I could tell whenever I listen in, people, the authors, and all these authors live in my Kindle. They're very appreciative, you know?
Yeah, they are. And it's wonderful. I get these wonderful messages from them, and I really love it. And, you know, when I started this program, one of my guests, early guests, right on, like I think the fifth guest was Carolyn Hart. And at the bottom of the hour, I want to talk about her specifically. And I want to talk about a book that's coming out next week. And also, you did a book buzz for her. So that we're going to save that to the bottom. We're going to save that to the bottom of the hour after the commercial break. I want to talk a little bit about her because she's a fascinating character. And she's done a lot for authors, which is what, in a way, when I interviewed her, I wanted to accomplish the same thing that she did in her books, but with this radio program. And I think I have done it. And so that's...
You have. You know. And I have to thank you also. You have been a tremendous, tremendous help to a little chihuahua like me.
Well, you are so talented. And, of course, you have one series out.
I do the Mary Catherine Mahoney series. Yes, 4 books and a novella. Yes.
Yeah, and so that's done, and you've been working on something new. And so I thought we'd talk about the process a little bit, because you know I don't go out and meet as many. I haven't been going to all these. I love going to the writing groups. I love talking to them, and you know, attending their events, and whether it's, sometimes it's in a the clubhouse of their condo building, you know, where 5 people get together, and sometimes it's a bigger thing at a library. But I love meeting people who are just starting off, who are just beginning writing, or they maybe have just finished their first novel. And I love when they come up to me and say, oh, I finished it last week. I'm ready to publish. And I say, oh, okay.
Well, and little do they know that is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's quite an accomplishment, but that is just the beginning. Even, you know, our big name traditional authors, they need to, I'm talking about marketing books. They also, unless their name is blah, 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 they also have to get out there and market nowadays.
Well, even if their name is blah, 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 Mary Higgins Clark, of course, was on the program many times. It was sad, you know, when she passed away, but she was 89 years old. She had written so many books, and I remember one time I was talking to her. This is because she accidentally she accidentally said something on air that she didn't want on air. And so
she was comfortable talking to you.
And we started up a conversation. She called me at on my private number. I called her on her private number. And she was saying to me, it's not like it used to be when I was, you know, starting off and I was the best-selling author, and she was still the best-selling author at 89, but she said, in those days, you know, they used to take me out on these wonderful tours and pay first class flights, hotels, and they'd send, you know, she said, usually a young man along to, you know, take me every place and carry my luggage and do... He said, yeah, that sounds great. And she said, they don't do that anymore. Now they say, if you want to go...
Mary Higgins Clark.
Yeah,
wow.
If you want to go talk, you want to go talk somewhere, you know, we'll pay for the ticket. And she said, I don't think so. She stopped that. You know, but it was so funny how she said it was so much fun in the good old days. That's not how it works now.
No.
And of course, it's in between even the... you know, pushing the book and working toward selling the book, there's that other period. It's called the editing period. And I thought we'd talk to you about that.
Sure, sure. It is a process, and I would say once you have written the book, then you need to put on your marketing hat. But while you're writing the book, and this I learned early on, it's extremely important to engage an editor. And even so, you might look for an editor who is more in your genre, even narrow it down to that. But and in addition to an editor, you really need to have maybe a handful of what we call beta readers. They receive your what's called an advanced reader's copy, read your book, and it's amazing. Sometimes I have two excellent beta readers, Georgia and Barbara, and they catch things. Their eyes are amazing to me. They catch things that after a while you even miss because you've been looking at it so long. So. And that is extremely important.
And it's important that the beta readers not be your mommy or your daddy.
Absolutely. Because they're somewhat biased. And your family is not your beta reader.
Exactly.
Typically. Because,
generally speaking, even you know, I know that CJ Box was always says, you know, that his first reader is his wife, and I'm sure that's true. But I'm sure he also runs it through an editor because you really you can't sometimes. It's hard. It's hard to criticize, you know, your beloved. So yeah, definitely a beta reader is a great start.
That's true. That's true. But I will say my first reader is also my husband, and it's very helpful. And what I learned early on, surprisingly, when I realized, well, I do need to engage in an editor, there really are different types of editors. I was talking to an author a long time ago, and she said to me, well, I have three editors. And I'm like, oh, so you have different types of editors who do different type of editing.
And now let's talk specifically about you have discovered a really great editor, and I'm going to invite her on the program because I was impressed with you shared some of her comments and it's to find a good editor and somebody who really understands how to work with an author is very important.
It is. And it was on the series I'm working on, The Ghost in the Camper, and Kensington author, Sherry Harris, who has been extremely helpful. She suggested, and her name is Barbara Kaufman, and she suggested I consider a developmental edit, which is where you would start. If you need someone who would look at your book even before it's edited by your traditional line copy proofreading editor and see if you have any plot holes, see if your book makes sense, if you're repetitive, a lot of things that a developmental editor looks at and that you would do up front. And that would probably be something I would suggest for a brand new author.
And so you go through a process, so you have this point where you're in development, and then how difficult is it sometimes to just sort of have to start from the beginning or start and rewrite large sections of a novel?
It's not easy. Start with an outline. Some authors, they're called pantsers. They write by the seat of their pants. I find that I need an outline. So when I started my new series, The Ghost in the Camper, I started with an outline, just a 2-3-page outline, not very detailed. And I also have a character sheet where I list my characters. And then I start writing. The Ghost in the Camper is about two characters, Mabel. Mabel finds herself late in life, where she thought she would be doing a lot of baking, spending time with grandchildren. And lo and behold, she's not, because her husband fell for someone the same age as their youngest daughter. So a friend of hers, Lily, invites her out to go camping with them. And Mabel says, you know, I think I'll do that, but I'm getting my own camper. So she purchases a vintage camper and a pickup truck to tow it. And lo and behold, the camper is haunted by Irma. And Irma is stuck in purgatory, and the two of them find, as they go across the country, that Irma needs to do good deeds, and these good deeds will shorten her time in purgatory. And so as they go, I start in Savannah, I go to Nashville, and the next stop will be the Badlands, Mount Rushmore. They find murders to solve. So I started with my outline, I started with my characters, and I have heard this many, many times. These characters start to talk to you, and that's what happens. It really does. Sounds weird, but that's what happens with me.
Well, and it's true. And in your first series, Mary Catherine Mahoney, I'm sure she is in your head, and a few of the other characters, including some of the nuns, because you get, let's just say, you have to see Rita at one of the shows, book shows, when they start coming back, because she turns up as one of the nuns.
I do.
Fun, and it's very effective. I tell you, it is very effective.
It's kind of out of the box. What with my first series, you know, like a lot of authors, we take a lot of writing classes, and they used to say, write about something you know. So having been a CPA accountant working for the Treasury Department all those years, I decided Mary Catherine Mahoney would be a CPA accountant set in Florida, who uses her accounting skills to solve murders or find people. And like myself, I grew up in a loud and boisterous Greek family. I have two Greek aunts. And they also have a little psychic ability. So it was a lot of fun, and I think my readers enjoy those characters.
Well, they do, and one of the fun things about Rita, you go to a release party and she serves Greek food. You know, what the heck? This is perfect.
Yes.
Well, it's a good way.
My favorite.
Yeah, of course. And it's a good way to build a fan base. This is one of the things I tell authors, that it's so important that you really need to build your fan base. So while Rita is writing and while she's promoting her books, you are also collecting email addresses, I hope.
Yes. And that's very important. And not too long ago, I attended a book launch for Carol Perry. And Carol religiously collects emails. As people sign in, they give you their email. And that was something else I learned early on, to develop an email list. And so I did. And my husband helped me with this. You can go to my website, ritamoreau.com, and you could sign up to be on my email list. I try not to overdo my newsletters, because just like Facebook, Twitter, other social media, it's not like something, hey, buy my book. You want to engage your readers. You want to get them to like you and get engaged and talk about things other than your books. So kind of go in the back door, sort of.
Well, it's important. You need to be memorable. I mean, one of the things, Mary Higgins Clark, of course, one of the things that she was always memorable for, whenever she appeared anywhere, she was always so beautifully dressed, so smart looking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she had been. We don't call them stewardesses anymore, but she had been a stewardess as a young woman. That really was something fantastic. As a matter of fact, she appeared in, I think, they put her in Time magazine. You know, they were taking pictures of stewardesses coming off planes, and there she was. Very beautiful.
I didn't know that.
You know, in those days, of course, the uniforms were beautiful, and the stewardesses, they were really, you know, treated well. They were selected for their looks, and so that was how she started off with this look, and she just carried it through as she became a writer. You know, she got married and became a widow, and with five children to support, and she started writing at 5 a.m. because that's the only time she had when you have that many kids, and of course, eventually became, you know, like the number one best-selling author. And so, but always she had that look that when she walked in a room, you noticed her. And I think this is important, having something that people will remember you for.
I think so. And, you know, she was kind. I was on the program one time with you, and you were talking to her, and I was like thrilled that she said hi. You know, she was kind and generous, and you almost could feel that from hearing her speak. You got that feeling. And I must say, there are some well-known authors that I've reached out to. That's another thing. Try to network with authors. And they have been very kind and generous with their time, too. And I really, truly appreciate that, including you, Patsy.
Well, thank you very much. And we have some really wonderful local. Did you want to do a sort of a live?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you have for us? And then later on, we're going to play one. But
I have one with author Gemma Halliday, and she is one who has been just extremely kind with her feedback and generosity and emails to me. And I have a book buzz for her latest book. So shall I go ahead and get started?
Go straight into it.
Go for it.
Go.
Okay. All right. Let me clear my throat. Sorry. Here it goes. This is Radio Rita reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz, Peril in High Heels. High Heels Mystery Book Number 11 by author Gemma Halliday. Gemma Halliday is the number one Amazon, New York Times, and USA Today best-selling author. Take one fashion designer, one epic fantasy film being shot in the middle of Nowheresville, and a very real dead body, and you have a hilariously action-packed mystery. Here's the buzz. Fashion designer Maddie Springer is a huge fan of the Lord of the Throne books by J.R. Ravensburg. So when her best friend, Dana, gets cast as the lead actress in the upcoming movie version, she's giddy with fandom. Even more so when she's invited for a girls' weekend on the set, currently being filmed in the wilds of Moose Haven. Between battling bobbits, elven princesses, and dragon queens, Maddie is in heaven. But what starts out as a fangirl's dream quickly turns into something out of a horror movie when the demanding director of the film shows up dead, stabbed with a prop sword. It's no secret Dana had her differences with the difficult director, and the local police have her squarely in their sights as suspect number one. Worse yet, no one is allowed to leave the small moose-obsessed town, and Maddie's meddling mom, hot husband, and flamboyant friend Marco are all threatening to descend. With the locals growing hostile and the police zeroing in on her best friend, it's up to Maddie to figure out who had the director taking his final bow. Problem is, everyone has a motive, from the director's wife to the young starlet with a secret, the mysterious actor playing the evil prince, the producer with an eye on the bottom line, and even the eccentric author, Ravensburg himself. If Maddie doesn't watch her step, this may be one movie without a happy Halloween ending. Hollywood Halloween. Sorry.
Say it again.
One take. Okay. This may be one movie without a happy Hollywood ending. Okay. I apologize to Ms. Halliday, but Gemma Halliday is the number one Amazon, New York Times, and USA Today best-selling author of several mystery books, suspense novels, and young adult books. Gemma Halliday's books have received numerous awards, including the Golden Heart, two National Readers' Choice Awards, and a Roan Award for the Best Mystery. This is Rita Moreau, reporting for Joy on Paper, buzzing off for now.
Okay. Well, you did a great job. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a commercial break. Hold on. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Carolyn Hart. Okay?
Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with the Z. I am back, and I am back here. In the studio, I am by myself, but on the phone, I have Rita Moreau, who does our book buzzes. And I want to play in a few minutes one that she did for Carolyn Hart. And I want to talk a little bit about Carolyn, because Carolyn, as I mentioned, Rita, it's so nice that you're here on the phone with me today, because I wanted to talk about Carolyn. We were talking about how generous and kind Mary Higgins Clark was, but I also have to add that Carolyn Hart is such a wonderful, wonderful author. And when we're talking about generosity in spirit and kindness, no one can beat Carolyn, because one of the things that she does in her books is she mentions other authors. Now, she is an absolutely fantastic woman.
That's wonderful.
She was one of these, a young girl who knew what she wanted to be. She started the school newspaper when she was, 8 years old. She was already ready to become a journalist. She went on to, be on the school newspaper, and she went to the University of Oklahoma and became a Phi Beta Kappa graduate in journalism. And she just, writing is everything to her and has been all of her life. So she knows writing, and she really writes so beautifully. At first, when she first started out, she was writing standalone books, and some of them did well, some not, as you learn. But then she started a series called Death on Demand. And it features Annie Lawrence, who is a proprietor of a bookstore called Death on Demand. And the beautiful thing about this book, this entire, what turned out to be a very, very long series, is that in the bookstore, the characters talk about other authors. And, of course, the books that they're buying. And every book in the series has mentions at least a dozen, maybe two dozen other authors. And I myself...
What a great idea.
It is a great idea. And what happened with me is when I started reading the series, many of the authors that she mentioned were not famous at the time that she mentioned them. They were just starting off authors. You know, Robert Crace, Harlan Coben. They weren't big, the top bestsellers then. But she mentions them in the book. Another one was Mike Resnick. Now, I discovered Mike Resnick through her books. And Mike Resnick is actually a sci-fi writer. And but he wrote a few mysteries. And, of course, they were just perfect for this bookstore called Death on Demand. And I discovered Mike Resnick by reading one of his mysteries. And then I went on, of course, and read every one of his sci-fi books. They absolutely wonderful. And Mike became a guest on the program many times. He's one of my favorite guests because Mike had a system of writing that he wrote in the night. When everybody else was sleeping, he would be writing like from midnight, you know, to six.
Probably a good time.
Yeah, it was quiet. Something that happened over his life that he got into that habit. And so the first time I contacted him, I said, you know, I'd like you to be on. And he came back. He said, you mean 11 at night? And I said, no. I said, no, 11. Oh, he said, I'm sleeping. And I mean, I thought he was like joking. And he said, no, I sleep. I go to sleep at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said, but I really, really want you to be on the program. And I started talking to him about his books. And he said, okay, for you, I'm going to drink coffee. And I'm going to stay awake until 11 in the morning.
Wow.
He said, I never see 11 in the morning. But, he did. And, of course, after that, he came on many times. And it was always so, so delightful to have him on the program. But I discovered him through the Carolyn Hart books. And when she was on my program, it was wonderful. The first time she was on, a few days later, I get two big boxes. And inside the boxes, she sends me autographed copies of her books and CDs to share with my listeners, and or to give out as prize,
nice.
You know, door prizes at different events that I attended. And I was so, you know, I had just started the program. I had been doing it for less than 2 months. And there she is sending me such a wonderful gift. I was so touched. It brought tears to my eyes, and I was just so thrilled. And, of course, I shared the books at different events I attended. As a matter of fact, the first time I gave a speech, I brought, you know, a bunch of the books to give away to the people in the audience because, you know, it was just such an honor for me to receive a gift like that from her. So we're going to play the book buzz that you did for her latest book, which is coming out next week. But everyone, and if you're interested in really a series that will keep you busy, her Death on Demand series is just fantastic. It goes, you know, she wrote so many books in the series, 26 books.
Wow.
And just a wonderful development of the character. She has, you know, many books have mothers-in-law. She's kind of got like the best one, other than Dorothy Sayers, who has the Dowager Duchess for Lord Peter Wimsey. I think Carol's mother-in-law is the best. And, of course, that's just one of her series. She's written 70 books, I think, altogether. And one of her series is something that I'm sure that you relate to because Bailey Ruth Rayburn.
Actually, I do, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just downloaded the first in the series, and what a great author. I mean, we're all in lockdown phase to start a new series with.
Yeah, because in that one, we have a protagonist, a ghost, which you have in your book. So there's a little of this paranormal, and of course, it's funny that Bailey Ruth returns to Earth via the Rescue Express to help her fictional
to
do good deeds.
Yeah,
and of course in Adelaide, Oklahoma, Carolyn from Oklahoma, And so it's a very, I think, a series that's very close to her heart. So I want to say a special hello to Carolyn today and congratulations on her upcoming new release. And Let's go ahead and play the book buzz that you did for her, okay?
Okay, I hope she enjoys it.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz mystery.
Ghost Ups Her Game, a Bailey Ruth Ghost novel, book 9 by Carolyn Hart. Here's the buzz. After a busy morning dispatching emissaries from Heaven's Department of Good Intentions to those in need, Bailey Ruth Rayburn is feeling flush with success. So when an urgent call for help comes through from her old hometown, she can't resist taking on the mission herself. After all, what could go wrong? With a shouted warning of her boss, Wiggins, irregular, problematic, ringing in her ears, she arrives to face a shocking scene. Professor Iris Gallagher leaning over the corpse of her colleague, Matt Lambert, the murdered weapon clutched in her hand. Bailey Ruth is only sent to help the innocent, but things are looking very black for Iris. With Wiggins breathing down her neck and her old friend Police Chief Sam Cobb casting doubt on her every theory, Bailey Ruth must uncover the truth, or this could be the last trip to Earth she's ever allowed to make. New York Times bestselling author Carolyn Hart's warm-hearted sleuth returns in the 9th Bailey Ruth ghost novel with a case that will test even her heavenly powers. Carolyn Hart is the author of 60 novels. Miss Hart was one of the 10 mystery authors featured at the National Book Festival on the Mall in Washington, D.C. She spoke at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. on mysteries in the American culture. She has received the Lifetime Achievement Award and the Amelia Award from Malice Domestic. In 2014, she was named a Grandmaster by the Mystery Writers of America. She is the winner of 3 Agatha Awards for Best Novel, 2 Anthonys, and 2 Maccabees. She is impressive.
For more of my suggestions on the books you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
Okay, Rita, that was a great, great book buzz. And I know that she will appreciate
it.
I hope so, too. Again, she has all of these wonderful books, a great writer, a great novelist. And one of her standalone books, Escape from Paris, is one of my favorite books. But I love books set in Paris or about Paris, or anything to do with Paris. And that's one of her standalone. But definitely, everybody, check her out. Carolyn Hart, her website has all list of her books. And also, she has the list of all of the authors that she has mentioned in her books.
Oh,
and I know so many of them
nice.
Are so grateful. It's exactly
Absolutely.
What Lawrence Block is doing now with his anthologies. In every one of his anthologies, he has 16 to 18 authors that he picks. And you know, although he'll always have, you know, 4 or 5 very famous authors, he also picks lesser known authors. And this is a way that he can help promote authors and for us, you know, to help discover. You know, sometimes you don't know if you're going to like an author. And a wonderful way to do that is with an anthology. And so Lawrence Block's anthologies that he's been doing over the past few years have just been a tremendous resource for, first of all, I love anthologies because they're great gifts, but also because in every one of these, I have discovered at least 2 or 3 writers that I didn't know about before and that are now become favorites. So, you know, this is authors helping authors, which I think is a very important thing.
So important, especially those 2 authors of their standing, because if you are an unknown author, a new author, it's very difficult in this day and age to get your name out there. So that is wonderful. wonderful.
Well, and I know that Carolyn Hart, one of the one great things that she did is that she promoted Carol J. Perry's books. She gave Carol J. Perry a blurb, which is very important.
Wow.
This is so nice when authors do this and help each other.
It is.
Particularly now at this time, when it is so difficult.
It is. And I recently read when you launch a new book, it's like the first 90 days that are extremely important because readers go on. They go on to the next book, especially a reader who can devour a book in one day. So, and they're looking for your next book.
that's what happens.
Unless you're... Mary Higgins Clark, they're not going to wait.
Know, and of course, nowadays, of course, and you're right to be doing a series because it's very difficult now to do standalones because publishers want series.
They want a series.
Exactly.
They do. And although I've been told that my books can be read as a standalone, which is nice, but readers and publishers, they're as you say, they're looking for a series. So especially our, traditional, I think we're down to the big five or the big six, big traditional publishers.
And they want it, they want it because they know that it makes their life easier for promotional purposes. So you might read an author's 20th book and like it so much that you will go back and start the series from the beginning. And that's what they're hoping for. Because in the old days, once it was in and once it was out, it was done. But this way, you have an ongoing thing. And speaking of a great series, next week I have Karen Slaughter on. And
we're
talking book 20 in her series. Wonderful series set in somewhere in Georgia and different places in Georgia. And so, this is a wonderful time in many ways for an author because in the old days, once a book was done and you had your, time on the bookshelf, nobody could ever find your book again unless they, haunted secondhand bookstores. But now you have this, so a person can read a standalone book, a book that, not necessarily you don't need to have read the whole series, like your books. You could start, anywhere in between. And then just...
You can.
Yeah, you like the character, and then you go back and you say, it's available. And that's the nice thing about it.
And I think some readers like that, especially if you're like me. One of the marketing tools that I do is I promote my books at a discount on Amazon through some promoting sites. And a reader might pick up that book. It might be the third, say Feisty Nuns. And then they're like, oh, I like this. I'm going to go back and read book one, So.
Yeah, well, that's always...
It is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of that, now you mentioned Amazon. Where are you finding, because I'm sure other authors out there would be interested in knowing, where are you finding the best venue for promoting your books right now? Is it Amazon, Facebook? What do you like to do?
I like to have, in the beginning, I did have my books at different sites, but I found Amazon obviously is the big house. So I have my books on Amazon. I have my Mary Catherine Mahoney series on Amazon, my Kindle and my paperback, and I'll do the same with this next series. And I just found it just was easier just to have it all on Amazon. I do have my books in what they call KDP Select. You don't need to do that, if you do, then your books are automatically enrolled in something called Kindle Unlimited. So that is very helpful because when you have your books on Amazon, in addition to royalties from the sale of your books or your paperbacks, you are paid for the pages read. So that's a good thing. So, and I also have done advertising with Amazon, with BookBub. with some vendors that do advertising for authors like myself. One called Bargain Booksy and Free Booksy. I found them to be very helpful.
Well,
so that's what I do.
And what about Audible? Have you thought about doing Audible?
I have thought about doing Audible, and Audible books are hot. And I even found a wonderful narrator. Her name is Hollis McCarthy. She is actually an actress in New York, and she does some narrating for a wonderful author. I'm sure your readers have heard of Jana Dillon. However, has with everything, editing, publishing your books, it's not quite in my budget yet, but it's on my list of priorities.
Well, there's so many things. And this is the thing, authors discover there's so many things they have to do, things that that you don't understand when you first write that first book, that there's all of these other things to do.
Yes. Yes, you have to, if you have to become a presence on social media. And if you're my age, that was something new. Not Facebook recently, this week in the lockdown, I reviewed Twitter again. Instagram is big. Pinterest, I'm on all those sites. You have to do all these things. You have to, as you mentioned, when I do my book launches, I show up as a mystery guest, Sister Hildegard or Sister Matilda. Have to think, as you have said, you have to think out of the box, you know. Kind of so people remember you for something, remember your name and maybe look up your book.
Now, on your webpage, let's mention it again, people can go there and they can see about your books and they can see something about you.
Yeah.
Of course, you have no events coming up. Nobody has any events. I mean, even David Baldacci doesn't have it.
I know. They're all virtual. They're all. I will say one thing. I will mention is a virtual book tour with Great Escape. Dolly Cass is wonderful, and it's something. It's something even a not so well known author can do. Reach out to Great Escape's virtual book tours, and that is perfect for right now. My website, RitaMoreau.com. You could sign up for my won't be every day newsletter.
Your newsletter is very nice. I like it. It's very nice.
Yes.
And
read a little bit about my Mary Catherine Mahoney book series, and hopefully not before too long. I'm hoping. I wrote this new book series, even though I'm an indie author, with the idea of maybe I'll try. I've tried this. Let's try possibly a traditional publisher. So I'm still looking at that. But if not, I will continue and I will publish my new series on Amazon maybe in the fall. We'll see.
And you wrote a query.
The Ghost and the Camper.
You went through the query letter process, right?
I did. The query letter is very important. It's very difficult to write because it's no more than 250 words. And that's what will catch. That's what you use to catch the eye of a publishing house or an agent, if you're going the traditional route. And a synopsis. A synopsis is actually slightly longer, but it gives a little bit more. And it actually gives, which is interesting, in a synopsis, you actually give the ending to your book. So I did that both with The Wheeler Dealer, The Ghost in the Camper, the first in my my new series.
Well, there's a lot to be learned to become an author.
So much.
And over the next, it's August in a few days. My goodness.
It's August
it's
on
crazy.
Saturday. August 1st.
Isn't it crazy
it
that we've been in lockdown, lockout? I don't know.
It's March.
It's crazy. But in August and September, I'm going to have some agents on. And one of the programs,
are
going to really dig into this wonderful thing about query letters and how to do them. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Rita.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go.
If I could just mention Dave Chesson, Kindlepreneur. He has an excellent website. If you are a new author, check that out. He has excellent.
Excellent. Yeah. You're right. He is wonderful, and he's been on the program many times, and he's a good friend to all of us here. And I want to thank you again, Rita Moreau, on Joy on Paper today.
Radio Rita. I'll be back.
Okay, Radio Rita. Thank you so much. You're
Thank
a wonderful
you,
guest. Okay, you
Thank
take
you.
Care now.
Enjoy.
Okay, be safe
okay,
out there.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, well, she is wonderful. Again, I want to remind you, if you are looking for an agent, check out Publishers Weekly. Go to their news section, and you will see there a list of all of the book deals. And there, you know, you think everything's in lockdown, but there have been some big book deals. Quite a few, six-figure book deals, and there was even one that was, I think, $7 million. Over $1 million for a novel. Lots of course, politicians and those people get $7 million, but there is an author who's gotten a $1 million deal, and I'm trying to find out the details of that so I could have that author on and find out what they're going to do with that $1 million. You know, when you get $1 million, yeah, got to be pretty happy. And of course, many of the authors who have been on this program have gotten millions of dollars. So I want to make sure that we all discover what's our secret. And over the next few months, I hope that you'll join me so that we can talk more about it. Remember, if you have a comment or a question, go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper. I have a form there. Fill it out and ask me what you want, and ask me also if you have any intellectual property questions, because in August, Bill Larson from Larson & Larson will be back here to talk about not just about your valuable intellectual property, but also how to protect yourself so you don't do something silly and ridiculous on social media and get yourself in trouble, because people are suing people, and you don't want to ever do anything that gets you into a lawsuit. Because as much as I love Bill Larson, and it's wonderful to have a intellectual property lawyer in your back pocket to call upon, because there's a lot of piracy going on out there. Oh, my goodness, they're pirating Lee Child. You know, he has to start a lawsuit because people are pirating him. You think that they'd be afraid that he'd send Jack Reacher after them or something. But you never know. You know, life is interesting. But remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or if you're very lucky also, it might be a series on the Hallmark Channel. Or if it's really a scary thing, it might be on LMN. You never know. And you won't know unless you start writing. So start today. In a year, you're going to have a novel. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for controlling us. He's controlling me, controlling everybody, and keeping everything clean. Okay, bye-bye now. Everybody, take care. Be safe out there. Don't get too crabby to people who don't wear their masks. Just say sorry. You know, don't start a fight. I can't stand this. I saw a fight in Publix, and I don't like it. Please be careful out there. Just be careful. That's all I can say. Bye-bye now.